Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become your healthiest self. It's time for Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Feeling tired, even though you've had plenty of sleep? Waning energy along with unexplained weight gain, feeling cold, mood swings can be a sign, all of these, of an underactive thyroid. It's a problem that affects an estimated 27 million adults in America. Today, we'll be talking with health expert and advocate Terry Lemeron about his growing health crisis that is being discussed all the time. You'll hear why this little butter-shaped tiny gland is so important for good health, as well as the signs and risk factors for hypothyroidism. We will discuss why current thyroid testing methods are so inadequate, and what you can do to detect borderline underactive thyroid function. Terry Lemeron, founder and president of Europharma Incorporated, a premier U.S.-based dietary supplement company, is a natural health expert with over 40 years of experience. He has owned health food stores, founded dietary supplement companies, and formulated over 400 products. Terry was the first to introduce glucosamine sulfate, IP6, standardized ginkgo biloba, the concept of botanical standardization, and the award-winning safe and effective pain product Curamin to the United States health market. Terry is a published author and appears on radio, television, and is a frequent guest speaker. His energy and zeal are simply part of Terry's mission, and it has been since the beginning of his career, to improve health with the very best that nature and science have to offer. Help me welcome my guest, Terry Lemeron. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Oh, I feel fantastic. Thank you very much for that beautiful introduction. I don't know if I deserve that or not, but thank you.
You know, what's interesting, you and I have done many shows in the past, and this topic of thyroid we have discussed before. And, you know, there was a time, and I think I even posed this question to you one time before, where a lot of us don't really understand exactly what the thyroid does. I know that we all think that it controls our weight, and sometimes we have a tendency to use thyroid problems as an escape or maybe an excuse for putting on some weight. But has the actual status of the thyroid in our bodies and its function and its health changed dramatically, let's say, over the last 10 years?
Well, I think we have a lot of things in our environment, in our diet, that really has displayed a real change in many of the functions of our glands and organs. You know, the food, which is really our fuel, food is our medicine. Food is what keeps us thriving and growing, and it has changed drastically more in the last 80 to 90 years than it has in the previous 3 million years. And we're eating foods that have been tweaked and genetically modified and changed, all for the manufacturer's benefits. It's more shape stable. It stays on. It stays longer in transportation. It doesn't break down. It doesn't spoil. Some of the foods that they can put on the shelf today will probably never spoil. So they're looking for ways to give us food that they don't have to worry about, but they don't emphasize nutrition or health. And in the thyroid in particular, we have no real food source for iodine, which is the main mineral that controls the function of the thyroid. Between iodine and an amino acid called L-tyrosine, the two, when they are combined together and they function to make thyroxine, which is the hormone of the thyroid, then we will probably function more normally. But today we can't because we are so deficient in iodine, as we are in many, many minerals across the board. 90% of all Americans are deficient in magnesium, selenium, copper, iodine, all the minerals, the trace minerals. We don't get anymore because we don't replace them in the soil. We only replace two or three, and most of those are just a spur growth of the plants, the grains, and not to really have a nutritious value for the foods that we're eating.
You know, if you study the history of iodized salt, it was actually something that they created for helping with things like thyroid and goiter and things way back when. And, you know, it's not uncommon for me to be doing a consultation or a lecture with somebody that says, well, I use plenty of iodized salt and, you know, and I get plenty of salt in my diet, so I should be fine. And misconception once again. You know, today we have a lot of people that will say, well, I use iodized salt, and I've been using iodized salt for a long time. That's supposed to keep my thyroid healthy. But like we do everything else in this country, too much of something can be a problem, and a lot of people don't really still understand nutritionally how to get their thyroid in balance.
Well, first of all, they've added iodine to a non-food source. They've added it to sodium chloride, which is a chemical. It's not a natural source of salt. It's sodium, but it's not a natural salt like in the way that we would have sea salt or Celtic sea salt or Himalaya salt, which is loaded with trace minerals, 80 to 90 different trace minerals. So we don't really have a good source of iodine. And if you keep a container of iodine long enough, and most people buy a very large container of salt, like sodium chloride and iodine, the iodine eventually evaporates and there's no iodine left in the container, and we are adding sodium chloride at the benefit of trying to get additional iodine. It's not really the best way to accomplish the solution of a deficiency of iodine.
You know, today it's really not uncommon for people to go to the doctor and get their blood work done and find out that their thyroid levels are low. And more than ever, I see blood works all the time, and I'm surprised, you know, and it's just as many men as it is women. You know, traditionally years ago, I think I used to see more women with a lower thyroid, but I'm seeing a lot of men today as well. But, you know, everything is changing. Hormones are changing, and, you know, the status of health in America is changing. We no longer have geriatric type 2 problems with our health. They've trickled down, and a lot of these at one time old age problems are now affecting us at a younger age. But thyroid seems to be on the tip of our tongue, if you will.
Well, thyroid is a huge epidemic today. Medical experts who really are involved in nutritional values that we would consume every day estimate that about 70% of women have an underactive thyroid, and about 50% of men would have an underactive thyroid. And this dates back many, many years. In fact, in the 1940s, 60% of all grade school girls had a goiter. And a goiter is a common occurrence due to a deficiency of iodine in the thyroid. Now we have cysts and nodules. We also have the goiter issue, with also associated with an iodine deficiency. And we do have a real problem with thyroid and underactive thyroids due to the fact that in the year 2014, when the last time I could find statistics on prescription drugs, Synthroid, which is the synthetic hormone for the thyroid and highly prescribed for those that have a thyroid problem, not iodine. You know, when you think of calcium and we need to think about bone, and when you think of iodine, we need to think about thyroid. Well, the number one drug prescribed in 2014 was Synthroid, 22.5 million prescriptions of Synthroid for those patients that have an underactive thyroid. But doctors just don't think about iodine as being the primary factor that generates the metabolism of the thyroid.
You know, this tiny little butterfly-shaped gland is so small, yet it's so important, and it can actually make the difference between a very healthy life, but it can also cause a lot of problems in a lot of different areas. Maybe some things people should look at, you know, and maybe ask themselves some questions, you know, to find out whether they need to go in and maybe get a checkup and find out if it could be an issue. What are the first couple things that you might want to ask yourself if you're thinking about?
There's a couple things that I find, Dr. Burke. First of all, most of the blood chemistries that are done on the thyroid are highly inaccurate. In fact, a doctor years ago by the name of Dr. Broda Barnes, who was one of the premier researchers on thyroid function, he wrote several really great books on thyroid function. He was the one that developed Armour Thyroid. He worked at Rush Medical Center, and every day he would go down and he would go to the stockyards and come back to his medical research laboratory with buckets of thyroid that were surgically removed from the animals that were killed. And he would do work with them to see what they would do to the human body. And he came up with a thyroid extract, which has been sold by Armour, the pharmaceutical company, for many decades. And it's a really highly effective thyroid extract for the thyroid. And he said there is very, very confusing results due to the blood chemistry, or taking a blood sample to find out what the thyroid, how the thyroid is functioning. And he came up with a test that would determine the thyroid function by basal body temperature, but not the by mouth, not orally, but by taking the temperature under the arm with a thermometer that would indicate the body temperature. And he said if they were lower than 97.8, the range that was better, was perfect, was between 97.8 and 98.2. But if it was in the range of 95 or 96, because that cold temperature would indicate that the thyroid was malfunctioning and there was an underactivity of the thyroid. And many people rely on that test today. And many of the alternative physicians still recommend that test to be done. But we can look at all the I guess you would say, the symptoms and the signs of someone who's experiencing a thyroid deficiency. And that would be those that are very slow movers, especially in the morning, because our thyroid is like the thermostat in our house. It sets the comfort of our home, and the thyroid sets the comfort of our home, our body, and it sets the metabolism. It sets the metabolic function of our body. It speeds up burning of calories. That's why people that have a very low, as you said earlier in the program, those that have a very underactive, very low thyroid function, they're going to gain weight very easily because they're not burning up the calories. As it malfunctions, the person that gets up in the morning, they have not set the tone for the thyroid yet, so they're really underactive first thing in the morning, so they're usually very stiff. In most cases, they may have swollen ankles and swollen calves. They may look in the mirror and they may see a swollen face or swollen eyelids. They may have a puffy cheeks, puffy face. They may be very slow moving. I just don't want to get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better later in the afternoon. And that period of time from early morning to late afternoon helps them get that metabolism going a little bit because they had a couple cups of coffee. They've had a hot shower, they had some activities, they had some food, and so by afternoon they feel better, and so now they feel like functioning more normally, but they start off terrible in the morning. They usually have hair problems, especially women. Their hair falls out very easily. They lose a lot of hair. They see it on the pillow, in the shower, in the sink. In fact, I've seen women that have lost all their eyelids, their eyelashes, and their eyebrows, because all their hair is falling out. They gain weight very easily. They have foggy thinking. They have very large calves. So when you look at somebody, and I do this all the time, I sit in airports when I'm traveling, and I look at all the people, and you can almost see the person that has an underactive thyroid. They have large calves. They have very large arms. They're very overweight. Their hair looks terrible. You can even see the outer third of the eyebrows is usually missing, which is a very good indication. So they have all these signs and symptoms, and they may say to the doctor, I feel terrible. I have no energy. I'm tired all the time. I'm fatigued. I can't think straight. And they do a blood chemistry and say, oh, you're normal. Well, then why do I feel like that? You don't treat the blood chemistry. You treat the patient. And that's what doctors don't do today. They don't treat the patients.
Well, you know, there's so many different tests that are done today that exhibit a range that you need to be in and where they think you should be. And you could be at a just under a normal level within that range and still be in need of something that the range is not telling you that you need. It isn't a cookie cutter solution, but we seem to be all, you know, kind of thrown into the same test, and we're all treated exactly the same.
Right, exactly. It's true. We need to look at the person and not at the numbers. And this is the same for cholesterol levels. I mean, they're trying to treat the cholesterol and not treat the patient.
Well, let me ask you a question. This basal test, should it be done and repeated for, you know, a week or 2 weeks consistently to get a good number, or is one time enough to give you an idea?
Well, if you do it a couple times, it's better, because then you can actually compare between the two. But what you do is you get a good thermometer, a mercury-based thermometer, not a digital one, and you shake it down so that it's low, and you lay it by the bedside, and when you wake up in the morning, you don't get out of bed. You don't want to have any activities. Even if you have to go bad, just wait and take the thermometer, put it under your arm, and hold it close in your armpit, even if you have to hold it with your arm, the other hand, to hold it tight, and let it there by 10 minutes by the clock. Don't just say, well, I think it's been there 4 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Clock it so that you know that it's there at least 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and then record that time. And then I would do that for at least 6, 7, 8 days in a row, and then I would try to find an average of those 6, 7, or 8 days and determine where that temperature really lies. And try to stay away from a period of menstruation or ovulation, because that will tend to raise your temperature artificially. But you really want to get your basal metabolism, your temperature, by doing the underarm temperature gauge. That'll give you a very good indication, and it'll be somewhere, if you're normal, it'll be somewhere between 97.8 and 98.2. If you're lower than that, if you're down in the 90, I've seen 95, 95 and a half, 96, and they feel terrible, this has really stood the test of time as far as determining the function of the thyroid. And there's been some really great books that I would like to mention. In fact, Dr. Broda Barnes, who really started the whole process of thinking differently about the thyroid. He wrote a book, The Thyroid Function, The Unexpected Illness. Dr. David Brownstein, who has been practicing medicine for many years, and he specializes in thyroid function. He wrote a book, Iodine, Why We Need It and Why We Can't Live Without It. Dr. Robert Thompson, a medical doctor in Alaska, he wrote a book called What Doctors Are Not Telling You About Your Thyroid and Iodine. These are great books for the average person to read to really understand what their thyroid is supposed to do, how it is supposed to function, and how you can make those changes with iodine or iodine and L-tyrosine, because every cell in our body has a receptor site for iodine. And so we can't just not use iodine. It's a mineral that has been used for as many years as we can possibly be here. We've got it somewhere in our diet, but it's no longer available because all of our foods and our soil has been depleted. Most of people around the world live in what was called the goiter belt, where there is just no iodine available. And so we need to supplement with iodine to have a healthy thyroid. And doctors just don't really have an education in iodine therapy for the thyroid.
One more book I want to add to the list, and this is a book that I've read personally by my guest, Terry Limeron. It's called 7 Keys to Unlimited Personal Achievement. And I think that this is a great addition to everyone's library. You know, today we're talking about information. You want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. Walking into most health food stores today can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine, packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and achieve for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at Find Health Food Stores near you today. Today, my guest Terry Limeron is here, and we are talking about the thyroid. What's interesting, Terry, is there's a lot of people out there that have other health problems, you know, diabetes, they've got blood pressure, they've got cholesterol issues, they've got inflammation, gastric problems, and I don't think a lot of them may even know that they should even think about testing their thyroid. One thing I've learned over the years is that many of these things are intricately combined. And they lead to each other. They can radiate into other problems. And it's not uncommon to find out that somebody with a lot of health problems also has a thyroid disorder as well.
Well, I think there are so many disease conditions that we have to sort through, which have so, they're brutal. Heart disease, heart attack, bypass surgery, cancer, so many harmful, disastrous diseases that I don't think we think about all these little conditions that are caused by a thyroid deficiency. or insufficiency where it just does not function normally, we're not going to die. We'll feel terrible. We won't have the energy we want. We'll gain weight very easily. We'll lose our hair. All these are not life-threatening, and so they're really not on the tongue of everybody to think about, well, you better work on your thyroid. People want to just save their lives from cancer and heart disease and type 2 diabetes, so they just don't seem to think about the thyroid. It's kind of like it's the least problem that I have out there that I need to think about. And they're looking for ways to increase their energy with caffeine, soda or coffee and other kind of stimulants to get themselves to feel halfway decent, to get their energy level back. Or, you know, they're looking for all kinds of things to increase their symptoms that are associated with thyroid, but they're not life-threatening. And when doctors do finally look at a condition that is a underactive thyroid, then the common prescription is Synthroid. And so many people are on Synthroid today that they get by, they don't feel good, they're not dying, and that's why it's kind of swept under the carpet and not given the credit or the, what I should say, is maybe given the value that we should be changing our thyroid function just to feel absolutely good.
Well, let me ask you a question, pose this to you. If you are someone that is on medication for the thyroid, whether you're on Armour or Synthroid, and you've been prescription-based for a long time, controlling or trying to somehow balance a thyroid that was out of order, where does iodine play a picture when you're on the medication already?
Well, that's a good question. I think once somebody's on Synthroid, because really they need iodine, not Synthroid. In most cases, if they have any portion of their thyroid left, it hasn't been surgically removed, it hasn't been radioactive destroyed by radioactive iodine, they have a thyroid, that thyroid will function with iodine, and it'll make thyroxine. It'll make its own hormone. Only doctors seem to have such a phobia against iodine, because I don't know why. I've never asked a doctor, why don't you think iodine is critical? When you know calcium is critical for your bones, we know that magnesium is critical for our heart. Why don't doctors believe in iodine? And I have never asked that question, but I have somewhat of an assumption that they know iodine, but it's radioactive iodine, and radioactive iodine destroys. When we had the Japanese crisis from the breakdown of the nuclear reactors, and we have iodine spewing across the airways and reaching like the western part of the world, the western part of California, Oregon, Washington, what did people do? They wanted to protect their thyroid. So they took large quantities of iodine. In fact, even the government recommends over 100 milligrams of iodine to protect the thyroid from radioactive iodine. Now, this is a very interesting point, because doctors will often recommend radioactive iodine to destroy the thyroid if they think there is a risk of cancer. Sometimes doctors will say, Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Brown or whatever it might be, or you have large nodules and cysts on your thyroid. To reduce the risk of that turning into cancer, I'm going to use radioactive iodine, and we're going to destroy your iodine, and that'll take away your risk of having cancer of the thyroid, which is now one of the, well, is the top, one of the seventh top leading forms of cancer. But you can't kill the thyroid with radioactive iodine if you have a lot of iodine in your body. It's kind of like, well, we're not giving you any iodine to make your body healthy, so we can destroy it because you are lacking iodine. It doesn't make any much sense to me, but that's the way our medical authorities and the medical community thinks about our body. Destroy it so you can't have any risk of having a disease of that kind. Now, I just had a really dear friend who went to the doctor several months ago, and the doctor said, you have several large cysts and nodules on your thyroid, so I want to use radioactive iodine to destroy your thyroid. Now, this lady is pretty knowledgeable about health and supplements, and so she knew oh, that's just not right. So she started on iodine based on a book she read and was taking 50 milligrams of iodine per day for about 4 or 5 months. Went back to the doctor, and he said, well, I don't know what you did, but I'm very pleased because all your cysts and nodules are gone. Those are the types of things that can be done holistically rather than medically.
You know, today we're talking a lot about the thyroid, and we're discussing, you know, just a basic foundation of knowledge. We talked about basal cell temperatures. We talked about, you know, not overstimulating our systems. We talked about things that we should be looking for, maybe some personal questions to ask ourselves, you know, different things that we should be looking for. Are we tired? Is our hair brittle and dry? Is our skin dry and waxy? Things like that, you know, and when do we decide to go in to get a test, or should we consider doing a basal temperature test using a mercury thermometer under our arm to check our temperature? I think it's an awareness that's well worth the time. And I think we need to start focusing on the thyroid because it's no longer just an intermittent problem. It's become more and more of a problem. Stress and chemicals and preservatives and even other medications weakening our system, a lot more of us are starting to have problems with our thyroid. So we definitely should consider it. I want to make sure that I mention the website of the week, TerryTalksNutrition.com and EuropharmaUSA.com as well. So don't forget to visit those. I think you'll be really happy that you did. Remember to go to my radio show page at Radio MD. Look for Talk Healthy Today for the on-demand podcast of the shows. I thank you for listening. Stay well.